I made up a word today at work. Somebody was like, I never heard of that. I was like, because language is all made up. I said, like, wonderness. What even is that? I don't know. What does must come from? I don't know, but.
Like, the day before most? Or
no, I was like wonderness, like wonderful and smart. I don't know what I was mixing it with, but
what does it mean?
Like great, wonderful.
Oh, wonderness. Okay, no, I mean in context. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I was like wonderment. She was like, oh, I haven't heard that before. I was like, I made it up just now, I guess.
Beautifus.
Correct.
Not a word.
Beautimus. Now I have heard people call people beautimus. That's a country thing to do. Like, ooh, you so beautimus. You's just niggas. So beautimus to me.
I was like, what is? Okay, I got it. But context always. Anyway, we're.
Anyways, we're gonna start. It's okay. We can have fun cold opens because Welcome back to Right Motherfucking Quick, bitch.
A pop-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly black baddies.
We're unfriendly because the Bush family has yet to pay for their crimes against every child left behind in the U.S. education system. I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Vance Go.
This is an important episode. I think that this is one of the most important episodes we'll ever have of this show because today we're talking about something we're both extremely passionate about.
Yes, and that is illiteracy.
I would almost say that this is something that like bonded us like over the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's just been like a constant like theme of our online fuckery, a mess, you know, like you be talking about illiterate people, I talk about illiterate people. We have both been vocal about literacy, like just like you niggas need to be reading. I think our liberal adherence to our liberal adherence to English.
Sure. Oh, I think, liberal is being gracious.
Our liberal like adherence to English, I think, makes people think that we would not be pro literacy as we are. But it's like, no, bitch, like making up words is part of it, right?
Because like
you understand what I meant, which is part of literacy.
Well, yes. So I want to talk about like, when was the first time you realized that, you know, something wasn't quite right? I know when I first realized, but when do you think you first realized like people, I don't know, couldn't read or that there was some kind of disconnect?
I think honestly, Facebook, because Facebook is a written medium, right? Like you have to communicate with your words that you write. I think it was very clear, like, I mean, what year is it? It's 2025. So I think like, I don't know. I think when I started noticing, it had to be around Trayvon Martin, right? Like that's when like we've had discourse online where we're actually talking, and the lack of literacy just shows when like niggas is like arguing with words and it ain't making sense. Or like the meme you sent me earlier where it's just like this could very well be a misunderstanding because this person cannot like they misunderstood what you meant.
Yes. Oh my god. I hate that. I hate when people misunderstand. I think the first time I realized Facebook was an indication, right? But I'll never forget in 2019 I used to have, back when I used to be an employee person, back when I used to have a job. Now, as we know, I don't have a job. But back when I did, I had a job at this construction tech company, and they hired someone to come in and help me. As like doing my same, basically he was supposed to be like my equal, but I was supposed to train him, right? You know, get him up to speed. I would send him a message, and then he would respond with something that had nothing to do with my message. The first couple of times, I was like, okay, maybe this is a weird thing. But like the fourth, fifth time it happened, I said, oh my goodness, this man can't read. He can't like read what I'm saying to him. Like he doesn't understand.
What happened with this? Was he fired?
He was not fired because, of course, I later quit. I soon quit after because why do you have me working with someone who cannot read? And I was burned out and I was constantly burning out at that job. And I was overworked and super underpaid. I only made like $50,000.
Which is poverty.
And I had to go into the office in New York City. This is New York City right before COVID. Then in COVID, we took a pay cut, 10% pay cut for quite a while. Everyone did.
Not less money.
Anyways. Yeah. So anyway, that cracker could not read and it shook the hell out of me. But then it did like make things start making more sense. Like, I think it made all my Facebook experiences, the dots really started connecting. Yeah. That I said, oh, I was right. Mind you, I had already been saying people were illiterate. I was going full force into it even before every dot connected.
But it was always, I think when you be saying that, people think you're being funny because, you know, you say ridiculous things all the time. But like,
I don't be being funny though.
That's right. Yeah. But that's why I looked at the stats.
Yes, tell us.
California. So this, I'm going to put on our NPR bag. According to the 2024-2025 literacy statistics from the National Literacy Institute, on average, 79% of adults are literate. Okay, that's good. Ish. 21% of adults in the U.S. are illiterate as of last year. 54. This is the one. This is a gap.
This is the
54% of adults have a literacy below sixth grade. And then 20% are below fifth grade. So they're kind of teetering between five and six, which is brazy. And then low levels of literacy costs. It costs to be illiterate. Yes. It says it costs us $2.2 trillion per year. And then the state, I don't want to read this on the air, but we hear the state with the lowest literacy rates is California.
I just want to say Florida, baby, vindicated, honey. How are you more illiterate than Florida? I want to say Florida gets so much shit. First of all, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, right there. Not sure why Florida's getting all the fucking heat. Okay. But the fact that California has the lowest literacy rate in the country, don't they boast like some of the best schools?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I looked at some of the reasons. So some of it was like there's a lot of English learners in California. So that makes sense to me. But it was just like they were blaming the communities. They were like, yeah, the school is it's not that good. And there's no standards for English in the state, that too. So there were a couple of reasons because I was looking at ways we could combat it. But yeah,
it does sound like institutional failure, though. What you just said does sound like institutional systemic failure.
But that's always a secret. Like, you know, like we're talking about NPR. Every time I listen to an episode of NPR, anything, it's just like, you know, the reason this is happening is because institutional racism.
That's why I don't listen to NPR. They piss me off. I'd be like, yeah, I know I'm black.
Right. I think it's for white people to understand that, like, institutional failings and racism is true. So I'm like, hey, this is for somebody.
Listen, Ronald Reagan, another one who will pay for his motherfucking crimes. He's another one who we should be blaming right now. Speaking of California, that's the reason why.
Woe us out.
And Gavin Newsom is trying to be a new fucking Ronald Reagan right now. I also, that just recently clicked for me. But yeah, reading, do you know how young you were? How old you were when you first started reading?
Oh, yeah. So I started reading, I don't know if it's early. I was about four.
Yeah, same. I think most black kids learn how to read like early in their house.
I heard black kids are more advanced up until school and then school kind of evens them out because, you know. But when I was four, I would just drive around. When we'd be, I was driving. No, when we were driving, I was.
No, you was driving the car when you was 4 years old. Vance been a boss. Vance been a boss. Vance was pushing the Astro van. Vance was pushing the Astro van, sitting in the lap.
Fresno culture, baby. Hey. So, no, but I would just recognize words and say them. And then my mom and them would be like, is that nigga reading? Like, what'd you say? And then I would say what I said. They'd be like, is this nigga reading? So I would spell. They would make
that's me memorization. Words. Yeah, the foundation, the starting point for reading. That's right. Really important. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's really important that we discuss the components of reading. You know, some people think that what you just described, like a child seeing a stop sign and being like, that means stop, right? There's a difference between seeing a stop sign, reading stop, but not being able to read stop in a book. Know what it meant when it's not on a stop sign. Comprehension is a big part of reading. I would say it's about a 70-30 split, because sure, you can know the letters. And maybe you can even pronounce them. I can pronounce Korean words. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm not reading. That's not reading, right? Like, that's not reading. And that's probably the biggest thing that I see. It's the comprehension that's lost. Like,
that is the main part, I think. So, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, like you said, I don't want to repeat everything you said, but yeah, it's like, sure, you could recognize the words, but like, bitch, if you can't put them together, there's something that happens online when arguing, where like people act like you're not supposed to be able to infer what the author was talking about. Yes. Bitch, that's part of literacy.
So glad you said that. The inference is they want you to spell everything out, and they also want you to say, and I don't mean these people. If I was talking about that, then I would have said that in a sentence. I would have said it, god damn it.
You would have communicated it. Yeah, so at one of Vance's jobs...
10 minutes.
Thank you. At one of Vance's jobs, there's like this thing where we have to, like, it's an investigation and you have to, like, you know, prove that this thing happened. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times people would be like, this person's not being racist because they didn't say they were doing this because that person was of a different race to them. Or they're not being sexist because they didn't say that I'm doing this to you because you're a woman. And I said, well, if they're treating everyone else a way and not treating, they're treating this person differently, like, that doesn't mean they're a sexist, but that could definitely mean that, like,
there's some strong evidence there.
Yeah, like, there's a role, that has a role in it, right? But, and when we argue online, same thing, like, oh, they're not racist. They didn't say that they're doing this because of race. And I'm like, is that how that works, y'all? I think they're gaslighting us, but I also think that they're illiterate.
I mean, they are. I think that's a big part of it, is that they're illiterate, right? It's like they're illiterate and they don't. The inference, like, and I want to, like, go to books at this point because I want us to talk a little bit. I know we've been reading a lot this year. I've been recommending a lot of books to you this year. But, like, even watching, like, people talk about books and them not getting, like, the underlying message because it wasn't said explicitly. This is also a problem in TV and media now. Bitch. And I've even heard that, like, studios are, like, wanting you to spell everything out now. They don't want to pick up stuff that has, like, that makes the audience think.
One of my favorite 90 quotes is, literacy is literacy. No, because I'm always talking about media illiteracy. And yeah, you're the one that's like, literacy is literacy. I mean, I agree. It's just like,
it's all the same. They can't do it in, if you can't do it in a movie, you're definitely not gonna be able to do it in a book or in conversation.
There's pictures, there's like color, there's a bunch of other stuff informing
music.
Right. Yeah, nah. I mean, I shouldn't even say this on here. I watched a movie about there was a trans allegory, and everyone in the room said they didn't get it because they didn't spell it out. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that was sad. I remember you telling me about that.
But yeah.
That was devastating. Devastating. Well, let's talk a little bit about books. Do you know how many books you've read this year?
I'm gonna go with 10. So I've been kind of hopping all over the place. I'm in two book clubs at the moment. So I think I've read three books with the book club. One book club, one with the other book club, and then I fell into there's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer book that I kind of fell into.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just saying, this ain't a Buffy podcast, but my favorite thing about it is
we should take a turn one day though.
What about Buffy?
One day we should have a Buffy episode for sure.
Period.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Buffy is like the subplot of Buffy is the public libraries will save you, right? Cause like the high school library, every episode they would find the answer to how to beat the monster in the library, and like that subliminal messaging really means something to me. Like, if you need to figure out something, like go read about it, go research it.
Oh my god, you're preaching! I almost got out of my seat and started shouting, child. That is so good. That's so true. I never thought of that. They did, because Giles probably lived in the library. I don't know. He lived in the library, and so like they did always have to go to Giles and go through the tomes and the books.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been tracking my books this year. I started tracking my books last year. This year, I've read 23 books.
Commendable, but also eye emoji. But continue.
I've been reading. It's not that crazy. It's not that crazy, because some of them were really short. I read some really short books that were like, and also this year I switched to audiobooks because physically, as someone who has chronic pain, I'm unable to physically read books like that anymore. Do I still buy them?
We know you do.
Who can say?
We know
who
you do.
Who can say?
Let's ask your partner.
But I've been utilizing the fuck out of my local library, my Libby app, because sometimes when I'm in between books on Libro, because I also left Audible because I'm trying to disentangle myself from Amazon, left Audible, went to Libro FM, another audiobook. And it's like people of color owned. Switch that to that. So when I'm in between books there, and then also Audible sometimes has a monopoly on some people's books. So that's the only place you can buy it. Sometimes they have that. But my local library, I have the Libby app. And that's where I've gotten most of my books. Like the past few books I've read have actually been from the library. So like I just read Their Eyes Were Watching God. I got that from the library. And then I just started reading. I just finished this Octavia Butler bio I was telling you about. Because reading about writers is like, I don't know, the best. We've been reading about writers because I've been telling you to read these books.
Right. Yeah. So I want to read that one. The book that me and you both read
Zora Langston.
Zora and Langston Hughes.
It's us, except you're black. That's the difference between you and Langston.
Langston. Right. Langston.
Mulatto.
I tried to talk to some people about how Langston Hughes was simply light skinned and not fine, like the history tells.
They wasn't trying to hear that.
There was not. They were.
I saw pictures of him. He was not giving.
Right. I mean, I don't want to say what I think Langston Hughes looks like, but come on.
Listen.
And I was like, James Baldwin. I don't think James Baldwin is traditionally attractive, but I'm like, James Baldwin to me.
I'm more attracted to a James Baldwin type. I'm not personally attracted to light skinned people. I told my friend actually yesterday, she sent me the new Kehlani song Folded that everyone's listening to. And I was just like, love Kehlani peripherally. I don't support light skins. I was like, light skins have enough support. I won't be participating in that. Love peripherally. I wish her the best. She's not getting my fandom personally. I don't fan anyone these days.
I mean, look.
They don't know how to read. Right. She knows how to read. It seems like Kehlani knows how to read, though. I'll give her that.
That's good. Look, I don't know much about Kehlani. She be eating. She be bumping boxes. That's what
I don't know. She be bumping boxes, but, you know, all of them are like, I don't know. Tiana's with a man now again, like, I don't know, recession indicators, like, people are like going back straight and she, also like being not, I don't know, thinking critically about the choices that they're making. Speaking of trying to go back to illiteracy, like, yeah, it's like because people can't infer, right? And because mm-hmm. people think that they're individuals and that they have complete control of every decision that they make and it's all made up in their own heads, they make these like decisions publicly and don't understand how like it reflects. I'd be like, yeah, no, you don't hate fat people again now just because you think they need to get healthy. Like, that's not your thought. Like,
right,
that, you don't think like, that you've been like, you stop like thinking.
They're not, they don't think that their thoughts and ideas come from nowhere. It's the, you weren't born in a coconut. What's the kapala?
Did the you kapala just fall coat? Out of a coconut yeah. tree? You exist in the context of everything that came before you.
That's it. Hey. You did not just show up in a coconut tree thinking that fat people are gross. Like, there is a reason, right?
Oh, my God. That is, like, one of the best things she ever said. What a great clip. Well, I guess we're starting to round out the episode. We're about to wind down here, but there is hope. You know, Reading Rainbow's coming back.
Yes.
With our favorite librarian, Michael. A light skin I do support, but he's not just light skin. He's biracial, and that's different. There's nothing you can do about that.
Biracial.
He's biracial. I'm very excited. I think he's the best person to take over Reading Rainbow since LeVar can't do it.
Right. I like him. I think he's great with kids. We need to be reading. I thought they got rid of PBS, so I'm glad that all of that's still happening. So
yeah, they couldn't totally get rid of PBS. It's just a bunch of their local stations will close, but the big station won't close.
Okay.
They get a ton of money. They have a ton of money on their own. It's just the government provides a lot of the smaller funding for the smaller local stations. So those are the ones that'll go away. Some of them are already gone.
Right. Okay, good. Because I'm like, we need Reading Rainbow. Other resources we talked about already. Your local library.
Yeah.
Go down to it and get a card.
Most libraries. Yeah. And most libraries, you can actually sign up for a library card online. Mm-hmm. I'm immunocompromised and I live in Florida. So I don't like to go and be where the people are. Unlike Ariel, you know, I don't want to be where the people are. So I signed up for my library card online and I get all my books from Libby. So you can get eBooks there. You can pick up books from your library if you want, and they have a bunch of audiobooks. My local library has 44,000 audiobooks. And then if you have Spotify, even though I know we're starting also to disentangle ourselves from there, they also have audiobooks if you have a subscription included. I'm reading Fledgling by Octavia Butler on there right now.
Right. And then you said Libro. Is that the other one?
Libro FM. Yeah.
I need to go to Libro FM.
Libro.fm. None of these people are sponsoring this, but this is what I use. And I feel better about disentangling myself from Amazon and the Bezos.
Yep. And then one more thing about Libby. The more library cards you get from different places, the more access to books you have.
Yes. So I'm going to get a New York one when I go back.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get more access if you have more library cards. So just collect more library cards. Read a book, niggas. And summation.
Read a motherfucking book. All right. Last but not least, do you want to recommend the people a book? Do you want to tell them what your favorite book was? What do you think people should read from the books you read this year?
Ooh. Okay. Honestly, Parable of the Sower. I read a bunch of books this year, but I think like that book is actually helpful. And what I mean by it is like there's white people reading a book with me because this is my book club book at school. Mm-hmm. And the white teacher, well, I want to put it all in one. They keep talking about how depressing the book is. And, you know, this and that. And I'm having a hard time with that take because I'm like, I get it. But also like, I feel like this book is a framework for resistance. So, like, it's showing us how we resist, how we fight back. Like, The answer is y'all, the group community, right? The answer is literacy. In the book, everybody's illiterate, and mama is literate and a teacher, and she's getting the girls together. That's it, right? Accumulating information through literacy, but like she knew how to desalinate water. I don't know if I said that right. Unsalt the water. Yeah, because she read about it. She knew how to navigate maps because she learned, right? So like they were able to survive better because of all of the, because she was literate, because she accumulated this information. Also being ready, being prepped.
Come on.
Doing drills, coming up with plans, actually talking about like if something were to happen, what are you and your people gonna do? Where y'all gonna meet? How y'all gonna communicate? All of that shit, right? So I think I'm choosing that book because it's topical, it's on point. I think like our answer for it is us.
Amen. I'm recommending Sky Full of Elephants by Sebo Campbell. This is a speculative fiction book. I've been reading some, and so is Parable of the Sower. It's a big speculative fiction year just with the world, but all white people walk into the sea, and I just love to see one, blackness and all its richness, learning in all its forms, the way that black people learn, and like when we're not like strapped into these fucking racist ass institutions, and also that getting rid of white people does not a black utopia make. Right. We still have our own problems and we still have issues ourselves, but that one, that book gave me a lot of hope for the future. I have never felt so hopeful than after reading a book where all white people walk into the ocean one day.
It felt special. No, like I was reading it and I felt like this sense of joy. Serenity is really the word, because it was just like this calming in the back, serene feeling. And I was just like, what is this? And yeah, I love that book. We read that in book club. Some folks, I think they never mind, whatever. We read that in book club. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's really great. Well, today's episode is sponsored by your local library and the Libby app. Load up on library cards, folks. Big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Ram Freeman.
I'm Vance Go, and you can find me at your local library.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at Nandi KAYYY. See y'all next time. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book.
Right Quick is a podcast for They Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Gao. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Audio production by Aaron Rand Freeman. Theme music by Luke Santi. Art by Sonia Honeycutt.